If you keep attracting the same type of partner, if you find yourself in relationships where you're doing all the emotional work, if you struggle with trust or intimacy, or if you keep choosing people who can't meet your needs, your mother wound might be running the show. But you're healing your relationship with your mom. What does that have to do with who you're dating? Everything. It has everything to do with it. Today, we're talking about how your unhealed mother wound shows up in your romantic relationships. Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show, the podcast for mothers and daughters who want to build stronger bonds, deepen their understanding, and transform their relationships. I'm your host, Brittany Scott, licensed therapist and mother-daughter relationship coach. After years of working with hundreds of daughters and mothers, I've developed strategies that help break generational patterns, heal wounds, and create the loving relationships you've always wanted. Each week, I'll be sharing insights from real clients, expert interviews, and practical tools you can use immediately to improve your mother-daughter dynamic. Whether you're struggling with communication breakdowns, navigating major life transitions, or simply want to take your already good relationship to the next level, the show is for you. And yes, the transformation I guide my clients through can be yours too. I'll share more about how you can work with me. It's time to experience the relationship you both deserve. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. I'm your host, Brittany. Your relationship with your mother is your first relationship template. It's where you learned what love looks like, what connection feels like, and what you can expect from people who are supposed to care about you. If your mother was emotionally unavailable, you learned that love means chasing someone who can't fully show up for you. If your mother was critical, you may have learned that love comes from conditions and you have to earn it by being perfect. If your mother was inconsistent, sometimes loving, sometimes cold, you learn that love is unpredictable and you need to stay hypervigilant to keep it. If your mother was enmeshed and needed you to manage her emotions, you learn that love means sacrificing yourself to take care of others. These patterns don't stay in your relationship with your mother. They follow you into every relationship that you have, especially romantic ones. Here are a few specific ways the mother wound shows up in who you choose as a partner. If your mother was emotionally distant, cold, or unable to connect with you, you might find yourself repeatedly drawn to partners who are the same way. It feels familiar. Maybe subconsciously, there's a part of you that thinks, if I can just get this person to love me, it will heal the wound of my mother not being able to love me fully. But it doesn't really work that way. You might just end up creating the same kind of pain. You're putting yourself back in that same kind of dynamic. If you were parentified as a child and had to take care of your mother's emotional needs and show up for her in a way that another adult should have, you might be attracted to partners who are struggling, broken, or need constant support. The caretaker role feels like love to you because it's what you learned as a child. If your mother was critical, you might unconsciously seek out partners who criticize you too. It feels like love because criticism is what you associate with people caring about you. Or you might think you can finally prove your worth if this person approves of you. Or you've just become so accustomed to criticism that you might just beat them to it, and so their criticism doesn't really bother you because yours is worse anyway. If your mother made everything about her, you may have learned to put others' needs first and accept that your needs don't matter or will always come last. Narcissistic partners love this because you'll tolerate their self-centeredness without complaint. If your mother's love was conditional or unpredictable, you might be attracted to partners who are the same way. Sometimes attentive and loving, sometimes distant or mean. That intermittent reinforcement actually creates this intense kind of love, this love that is like craving, but underneath it, it's trauma. You're hurt and then you're in love and then you're hurt and then you're in love and you're desperately trying to get back to the love part. So this hot and cold just becomes a cycle. If your mother couldn't see you, hear you or meet your emotional needs, you may have learned that your needs don't really matter all that much. So you choose partners who confirm this belief by being unable or unwilling to meet your needs. These patterns in partner selection are driven by core beliefs you developed from your relationship with your mother, something you developed while you were a child. If your mother's love was conditional or absent, you internalized that belief that maybe you're not as lovable as you are. So you choose partners who confirm this by treating you as less than. If your relationship with your mother was painful, part of you might believe that part of love is pain. Healthy, stable relationships might actually feel boring or wrong to you because they don't match your template. They don't match what your inner child part of you learned. If your mother's approval was hard to get, you may have learned that love must be earned through performance, perfection, and self-sacrifice. So you choose partners who make you work and make you do things to earn their love and affection. If your mother couldn't handle your emotions or your needs, you learn to suppress them. So maybe you choose partners who can't handle your needs either, confirming your belief that you might just be too much, which is not true, by the way, but that could be how you're feeling. If your mother made you responsible for her well-being, you learn that leaving is betrayal. You stay in relationships long past when you should leave because you feel responsible for your partner. And if you spent your childhood trying to get your mother's love and approval, you might believe that enough effort can change someone. You stay with incompatible partners thinking you can fix them or fix the relationship, and one day it'll be what you need. Beyond who you choose, the mother wound affects how you show up in relationships too. It creates your attachment style, your ability to set boundaries or not set them, and how you trust. If your mother was inconsistent or emotionally unreliable, you might have anxious attachment style. You need constant reassurance. You worry about abandonment. You're hypervigilant about your partner's mood and behavior. You might be trying to control the relationship to avoid the pain of losing love, like you did with your mother. If your mom was intrusive, enmeshing, or smothering, you might have an avoidant attachment style. You may struggle with intimacy, need lots of space, and you may pull away when people get too close. You're protecting yourself from being consumed like you were by your mom. If you learn that your worth came from meeting your mother's needs, you probably do the same in romantic relationships. You mold yourself to be what your partner wants. You suppress your own needs and desires. You become whoever they need you to be. If your mother didn't respect your boundaries, you either never learned to set them, so you might let partners cross the line constantly, or you're so protective that you struggle to let anyone in, so you push away healthy connection because it's so foreign to you. If you had to manage your mother's feelings, you do the same with partners too. You feel responsible when they're upset. You try to fix their problems. You can't separate their emotions from your own. If your mother's love felt unreliable, you might test your partner to see if they'll leave. You push them away to see if they'll stay. You create conflict to prove they won't abandon you. This usually becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And if your mother betrayed your trust, whether through breaking promises, violating boundaries or privacy, or being emotionally unsafe, you bring that distrust into romantic relationships. You can't fully let anyone in because you're waiting for them to hurt you. And remember that I talk about mother-daughter relationships, but a lot of what I talk about can relate to parent relationships. So if some of this you experienced by your dad, you can also carry that into romantic relationships. But we focus on moms here. You unconsciously choose partners who recreate your mother wound, hoping that this time it will be different. This time, you'll get the love you didn't get from your mom. This time, you'll be enough. But you can't heal your mother wound through a romantic relationship if you don't understand the dynamic that hurt you. You just end up creating the same dynamic and reinforcing the same painful beliefs about yourself. Then you leave that relationship, or maybe they leave you, and you swear you'll choose differently next time. But if you haven't healed the underlying wound, or you haven't identified the painful dynamic that is hurting you, you may still be attracted to the same type of person, just packaged differently. You do not have to wait to be fully healed in order to be in a romantic relationship, but you do have to understand the dynamics. So how do you break this cycle? How do you get out of choosing the wrong partners and actually start to build healthy relationships? First, you can't skip starting your own healing work. You have to understand your mother wound before you can truly have successful relationships. Therapy, coaching, journaling, inner child work, like whatever it takes to process your pain and change your core beliefs. You don't have to be fully healed to have good relationships, but you do have to be aware of the dynamics that caused you pain. You have to know and be able to spot and understand what is a healthy dynamic and pattern that's happening and what isn't. What is one that's going to be painful for you and what is one that won't be? If you can't actually name them and understand what's happening, then you're just doomed to repeat it. You need to be able to identify your patterns. Look back at your relationship history. What's the common thread? What type of person do you keep choosing? What role do you keep playing in these? Write them down. Get very specific. And then, how did your mom hurt you, or what did she teach you? Is there anything in your partners that might feel identical or look identical on paper to what you experienced in childhood? Number three, understand what feels like chemistry, and I'm putting that in air quotes. What you call chemistry or spark can often just be familiarity. It might just feel familiar. If you meet someone and immediately feel intensely drawn to them, that could just be your nervous system recognizing a familiar pattern. Not necessarily a healthy one, just one your brain knows and recognizes. And it could come from your childhood, which may not have been all that healthy. Real healthy attraction can feel calm, safe, even boring at first if you're used to chaos and drama. Pay attention to your body and how it's responding. Number four, date differently on purpose. Instead of following your usual type, intentionally choose something different. If you're used to dating somebody that's emotionally available, run as soon as they become emotionally unavailable and try dating people who are open and communicate, even if that feels weird to you. If you usually date people who need fixing, try to find someone who has their life together. I know these aren't things you can really just see about a person when you meet them, but you just have to be able to walk away faster when somebody actually meets a non-negotiable. What is something you don't want anymore? What is something you want to change about your romantic relationships or your dating life if you're actively dating right now? You have to be willing to walk away faster. That's how you date differently. Number five, pay attention to actions, not potential. Stop dating people because they may become someone someday. Like, stop making excuses for patterns. Stop saying they have potential and they can change and they'll grow. Stop giving them that benefit of the doubt. Pay attention to who they actually are when they show up for you and how they actually treat you right now. And if it's not what you want, you have to be willing to walk away. Number six, learn what healthy love looks like. If you grew up with a mother wound, you might not know what healthy love actually looks like and feels like. It's consistent. It's not hot and cold. It's respectful of boundaries. It's emotional availability. It's healthy communication. It's being supportive of your growth and your ability to change. Real love and healthy love is reciprocal. It's not one-sided. You shouldn't be the only one giving it and getting nothing in return. It's safe, not chaotic or filled with drama, and it allows you to be yourself. Number seven, work on your attachment style. If you're anxiously attached, work on self-soothing and building security within yourself. If you're avoidantly attached, work on vulnerability and allowing connection. A therapist who specializes in attachment can help with this. Also, remember that healing happens in relationships. So you can move toward a secure attachment when you're in a relationship with someone who is securely attached and has healthy behaviors. And this can be any kind of relationship. This can be a friendship. You can work on what a secure attachment feels like in a great friendship. So if you already have that, pay attention to how you feel with that person and try and find that in romantic dating partners. And lastly, practice being alone. Learn to be okay by yourself. Build a life outside of romantic relationships. Build a life that you love. One that brings you joy and you have fun in, and you can develop friendships and hobbies and a sense of identity that isn't dependent on having a partner. When you're okay alone, you stop settling for relationships that just don't serve you and people who don't deserve you. You can choose a partner who is emotionally available and capable of healthy intimacy. You don't have to chase them or wonder if they really love you. You can be yourself fully without performing or pretending. They can love you for who you actually are, not who you're trying to be. You can be in a relationship where your needs matter and can be expressed. When you share a need, they don't get defensive or dismissive. They listen and they try to understand. They don't run from it. They're able to just sit in all of this with you, even if it's hard. You can be inside of relationships where conflict is handled with respect. You can disagree without someone stonewalling, yelling, or threatening to leave. You can be with a partner that you trust because they're trustworthy. Their words match their actions consistently over time. All of these things you can have if you're willing to walk away from partners that don't meet those needs for you. If you're willing to walk away at the first sign of, oh no, this matches what I'm used to, and what I'm used to doesn't work, I need to try again. If you're already in a relationship and you're realizing that your mother wound has influenced your choice and how you show up, first, you should be able to assess, is this person capable of healthy relationship with me? Or did you choose someone who fundamentally can't give you what you need? If your partner is abusive, refuses to work on themselves, or consistently disrespects your boundaries, no amount of your healing is going to fix that. Do with that information what you will. But if your partner is a good person who's willing to grow with you, your relationship can improve as you heal. As you communicate better, as you're learning more about yourself and what you experience, you share that with your partner, and they're able to work with you, show some reciprocity, and create new dynamics for both of you inside of this relationship. You take responsibility for your part. Acknowledge the ways your unhealed wounds have affected the relationship. You can say something like, I realize I've been testing you constantly because I'm afraid you'll leave and that's not fair to you. I want to stop doing that. If your partner can sit in this with you and actually have these conversations and be there for you as you work to heal them, you can build trust and safety. You have to be willing to ask for what you need. Practice stating these clearly as well. Once you identify a need, you also need to be able to voice it to somebody else. You should practice that with the partner that is capable of meeting that need and also wants to hear it. And together you can create new patterns. If you can work with your partner now to help you in healing this and creating healthier dynamics between the two of you, you can go on to have a more beautiful and joyful relationship. Your mother wound will keep showing up in your romantic relationships until you are able to identify what the dynamic is and then work to change it and work to heal the parts of you that might still be hurting from that. You can keep changing partners, but if you don't change the patterns, you'll keep recreating the same pain. Awareness is the first step. If you're listening to this episode and resonating with any of this or recognize yourself in any of these patterns, that's already the first step to awareness. You cannot change what you don't understand or what you don't see. Healing your mother wound doesn't just improve your relationships with your mother. Sometimes it won't anyway, but it can transform every other relationship in your life, especially romantic ones. It allows you to choose partners from a place of wholeness instead of woundedness, from a place of understanding and being able to spot painful dynamics or dynamics you know will not work for you and what you want inside of a relationship. It allows you to show up authentically instead of playing roles or playing small, and it will allow you to build the kind of love you actually deserve. It can be difficult to realize that the patterns in your romantic life can be connected to your mother wound, but this awareness is power. Once you see it, you can change it. You deserve a partner who is emotionally available, who sees you, who values you, who shows up consistently. You deserve a love that feels safe, not chaotic. You deserve a relationship where you can be yourself. But first, you have to heal the wound that keeps choosing differently, and you have to understand the dynamic that has been painful and one that keeps repeating. That is what I have for you today. Thank you for being here and being a listener of the show. And I'll catch you in the next one. That's all for today's episode of the Mother-Daughter Relationship Show. Thanks so much for spending this time with me. I hope you picked up some valuable insights that you can start using right away in your own relationship to create deeper connection and understanding. If something from today's episode resonated with you, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a mother or daughter in your life who needs to hear this message. And while you're at it, please consider leaving a rating and review so we can reach more families and transform the way mothers and daughters relate to each other. For those ready to take the next step, you can visit my website to learn more about my private coaching programs and my program designed specifically for mother-daughter pairs. Whether you're dealing with communication challenges, life transitions, or just want to strengthen an already good relationship, I'm here to help. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next one.